Welcome back to it on a Friday. Good to have you here. Something on the order of 1,000 National Guard troops rolled out of Camp Grayling South on Wednesday, stayed over in Fort Custer, and then wheeled on to the nation's capital yesterday. The question is why? Why are there still thousands of troops posted up in Washington, D.C.? Chuck Schumer is telling the president he ought to declare a national emergency on climate change. Others suggesting a national emergency on COVID-19, which would give Joe Biden basically unlimited power to take what Governor Whitmer did here in Michigan and take it to the national level. What's going on? Steve Doolin here, attorney, real estate broker, professor, all around good guy. Doolin, welcome back.
Thanks, Gruber. Glad to be back.
So, you know, thousands of troops still on the streets of the nation's capital. Another 1,000 Michigan National Guards troops went there yesterday. Why is it still like an armed camp there? I mean, are the Proud Boys and all their 23 members going to suit up and take them all on? I mean, this is just ridiculous unless there's something bigger in the works. Your thoughts?
Well, it's hard to say when you don't have access to all the information. And, you know, having been in the Army, there is there's a little class they teach you at the beginning when you get there and join up, and they keep reinforcing this idea of loose lips sink ships is the sort of colloquial term. They called it SAIDA, subversion and espionage directed against the Army. And so there may be more to the story, and that's why you can probably hear the hesitation in my voice. I don't know. I doubt any of us on this broadcast know exactly why. It may be security theater. You know, just we want some troops with their unloaded firearms so that we can get some good photo ops. It might be that. There might be something more to the story. I hope there's not more of the story. I hope it's just security theater. And, you know, as far as the state of emergency goes, that's I've got some different opinions on that because we've seen it happen here where the state of emergency isn't solidly based in science and logic. And we've got strong suspicions that it's being used just to create and perpetuate power. And that's a whole different story from there might be some real threats we don't know about.
That's possible. But let me ask you, I mean, Chuck Schumer openly pushing the president to declare a national emergency on climate. If a national, he said, well, you know, Donald Trump did that for the southern border so he could move money around and build the wall. But that's a localized event that covers a limited space. Declaring a national emergency to cover the entire United States and therefore basically have unlimited power to do, as you pointed out, what Governor Whitmer did here in Michigan. I don't know that that's happened since maybe the Civil War. You tell me.
Well, I wish I knew. We need some better historians than you and I to tell us the answer to that one, what emergencies have been declared when, but we should be especially suspicious. You know, I share your instincts to be very concerned about declarations of emergency. The first thing I thought of when I saw some of the reactions to the Capitol riot incident, the U.S. Capitol, was I flashed on my understanding of the Reichstag fire that Hitler used. I mean, you know, I know I'm violating Godwin's law comparing everybody to Hitler, but there's a real historical story here that a lot of people don't know, that their legislature, the Reichstag, was burned, and that was the beginning of the declaration of the states of emergency that allowed an elected Democratic official of the German government to become a dictator. So we should be suspicious, and we should be careful whenever somebody starts throwing that term around, state of emergency.
I agree with that, and I think it's incredibly dangerous. I think it's incredibly dishonest. I mean, if you get to, I mean, look at it right now. 40 executive orders in what, 10 days, 9 days, whatever, it's 40. And that's more than the last several presidents. And in fact, I would hazard a bet that 40 executive orders and actions in the first 9 days in office is more than every previous president combined in American history.
Yeah, that, I wouldn't be surprised because the numbers have been going up steadily. And so that probably is the biggest number. I wouldn't even challenge that. I did have one of my lefty friends point out that a significant number of Biden's executive orders were literally just canceling Trump's executive orders. So I'm not sure how you count those. But in any case, it's a flurry of activity. We've got an imperial presidency. In fact, I've got some of my college students in a government class, undergrads, writing a paper on the imperial presidency so that they can compare the current version of presidential power to the framers' vision of separation of powers and checks and balances. And it seems a little out of balance right now the executive has usurped more power than it was originally meant to have.
Well, sure.
Dangerous.
Your progressive friends there, Steve-O, talking about, because I'm sure these are the same folks. Trump's a dictator. Trump is doing too many. Trump did just over 200 executive orders in 4 years. All right. We're at 40 in 9 days. I mean, he's 20% of the way there in 9 days. You know, if this continues, I mean, does it not feel like 9 days in a year and a half already?
It kind of does. I can't argue with you. There's been a lot packed in to that less than a fortnight of time. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, less than a fortnight. For those of you scoring at home, a fortnight is 14 days, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, just check. You know, I just want to make sure I'm on the right page. A fortnight is 14 days. Very smart. That's why he's the professor. I'm the student. Now you understand. What in the world is going on?